14. As the Bible said, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon the ungodly. A judgment upon all and convince all that are ungodly among them all of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty to preach and power to preach. And I pray, Lord God, wisdom. And I pray that you'd put your hand upon us, help us, enable us to preach, that we might be a blessing to these thy people. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Enoch is not a major player in the Bible. He gets a few more verses than Jabez, but not many. And he's only mentioned a couple of three places, Genesis, Hebrews, Jude. But he's an amazing character, and we're going to talk about him for a little while this morning. Now, back over in the book of Genesis in chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible said, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after that he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And so we'll look at this little guy named Enoch this morning and see if we can't find something about him to give us a blessing. Amen? Now, God puts nothing in the Bible by mistake. And he puts nothing in the Bible that you don't need. I preached over at Preacher's Fellowship a couple weeks ago, and I preached on David. And, of course, the first passage we read is where David is addressing the nation, and he's getting ready to die. So he's making his farewell address. It's his swan song, and he's talking about praising God and living for God and keeping God's commandments. And everybody was shouting it out. And then I read the second passage where David is getting ready to die, and he's called the family in. You know, hospice has said, today's going to be the day. And so he called all the kids in and gave them their blessing and their reward and told them what was in the will and all that stuff. And he got Solomon down there, and he said, now Solomon, he said, be a man, serve God, and gave him good advice. And he said, and by the way now, he said, before these two guys pass away, he said, I want you to kill Joab. I want you to kill Shimei. He said, I want these two guys dead. Well, then everybody quit shouting, see. And the message was, it was dead after that. And how did I get off on that? While I was preaching that, I said some negative things about David. And some of them preachers, there's 18 preachers there, and the preachers are looking at me like, oh, how can you say such awful things about David? You know, the message is always supposed to be positive. It's always supposed to be upbeat. You know, you can never be negative in our generation. But the Bible is almost always negative more than it is positive. And you can always look at it like this. The Bible is always positively negative. Okay? I mean, there's always a way around it if you want to. But they were looking at me thunderstruck. You know, why would you bring that kind of thing up and point that out about this great man? Well, because it's in the Bible. Because it's in the book. Because God put it in there, somebody must have needed it. And saying, by the time we got through, we did preach a little long that night, but by the time we got through, most of the folks there agreed with me. There's one old sourpuss who wouldn't agree with nobody, but he didn't like me going in, so I didn't count him. Amen. We need to study Jude because it's in the Bible, and there's some things God put in there about Jude that can be a benefit to us, a help to us, and a blessing to us. Amen? Now, first thing we need to do is we need to look at Enoch's world, the world in which Enoch lived. In Jude verse 15, you see that his world was filled with ungodly men who had done ungodly things. Well, now, that being said, it appears to me that there's not a great deal of difference between Enoch and us. We live in a world that is just wicked beyond imagination. if the fashions keep going, women are going to be running around without any clothing. It's just an absolute abomination. And what they wear is so thin, the mosquitoes can fly through it and not damage their wings. I mean, it's just pathetic. And if we get much grungier, I went by a funeral procession the other day, and all the folks are standing outside. And honest before God, I thought that they were at a hillbilly barbecue or something. They're out there in dirty dungarees, t-shirts, flip-flops. It used to be you went to a funeral to show respect and give honor to somebody. Now we dress like we've been to a beer ball, you know, a beer party. I mean, our world's just going to hell in a handbasket. We dress like pigs, or we don't dress at all. We use the foulest and most vile of language in mixed company, and you ought to see that get at home. Amen. I'm not one to tell you not to cuss. I'm just telling you don't cuss out in public. There's some cuss words that just fit better than anything else in the world. You ever notice that? I'm serious and hard at that. Some of y'all think I'm putting y'all. I'm just telling you the honest truth. Hey, is there some words? I'm not going to say them, but I wish I could. But our language is pathetic. Of course, we can't speak anymore either. I mean, we don't teach grammar or English or diction or anything in school anymore. And so the way young people put sentences together, you can't figure out what they're saying. They don't have a subject. They don't have a predicate. They don't know what nouns and verbs are, you know. It's just they're inarticulate, ignorant morons, what they are. Our whole society is just going to hell in a handbasket. Our morals are in the sewer. We used to talk about San Francisco, you know, fairyland, fruitland, that kind of stuff, you know. But it's that way everywhere anymore. Shacking up, living like the devil, homosexuality, lesbians. I mean, it's just, you cannot in mixed company talk about all the stuff that goes on in our country anymore. And I'm talking about, I can't talk in public about what you can see on television. I mean, it's just pathetic. Now, that's the world, that's the kind of world Enoch lived in. He lived in an ungodly world. And you live in an ungodly world. And so in that respect, we have a great deal in common with Enoch. And by the way, I want you to notice there that God was angry about the way them folks was living. Amen. He's going to come back to execute judgment on them. And just in case this old world thinks they're going to get by with it, I got news for you. You ain't going to get by with it. God's going to haul us up short one of these days and stand us in front of the judgment bar, and there's going to be hell to pay. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, so without spending too much time on Enoch's world, I want you to understand emphatically, though, that it was a wicked, ungodly world. It lived for the pleasures and the senses of the flesh. Now, you've got to admit that's pretty much where you're at. You can't get a church house full anymore because folks are out of the river on their jet skis. They're at the beach roaming around in their bikinis and surfing. They're someplace partying and having a good time. They were out in a honky-tonk till 3 o'clock in the morning, and so they can't get up for church. Everything takes precedence over God and godliness. Now, second thing I want to do is look at Enoch himself. It said back in Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, he walked with the Lord 300 years. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch lived a year of years. I mean, he lived 365 years. That's a year full of days. Amen. That's a nice long life. But did you notice back there, it said Enoch was 65 years old when he begot Methuselah. And after that, he walked with God. So there was 65 years of Enoch's 365 years that he did not serve the Lord, did not walk with God. Then there was a definite time and a definite place when Enoch's walk with God began. Amen. Now, we're all sinners. We've all gone astray. There's nothing that seeketh after God. You are not born a Christian. You're not going to make it home to glory because you were born in the United States of America. You are not going to make it to the pearly gate because grandma did. Or because pop was a preacher. Amen. There's going to have to be a definite time in your life when you decide to walk with God. Amen. Enoch lived 65 years and walked with Enoch. Then something happened, which is speculation. Of course, I'm pretty sure I'm right, but I'm always sure that I'm right. I never say anything about it until I've got it figured out, you know. Enoch had that definite life-changing experience. How do you know it was life-changing? Because he didn't walk with God, and after that he did. Amen. And brother, I'm here to tell you, your conversion ought to change your life and it ought to change your walk. The Bible said, walk circumspectly as wise and not as fools. When you get saved, it is supposed to change the way you live. I don't walk the same places I used to walk. I don't walk with the same crowd I used to walk. I don't walk with the same purpose I used to walk. I got saved. God changed the direction of my walk and the people in my walk and the purpose in my walk. Amen. And if that didn't happen to you, what you got ain't real. Amen. Now listen, God didn't give me one kind of new birth and give you a different kind. Amen. God ain't got one program for you and another for me. God don't require righteousness and holy living out of me and gonna let you slide. Listen, when you get converted, you're supposed to be changed. Amen. Look, let me show you what conversion is. You know what this is? Somebody tell me what that is. Some of you guys got a college education. Tell me what this is. That's a wooden table made out of oak, right? I can do all kinds of things with that. We can put pretty flowers on it. We can collect money. You can sit on it. You can write. There's a million things I can do with this thing because it is solid. It is hard. It is substantial. Now, what is this? Oh, it's paper. But what is paper? It's oak tree. It's pine tree. It's maple and birch and poplar. It's wood. Now, what's the difference between this tree and this tree? This one's been converted. I converted it from a table to paper. See? Now, it is the same substance, but it is used for a different purpose. Yeah, you can't sit on this thing. It's not substantial. See? So we converted it from a table to paper so we can print songs on it and write notes on it and pass notes in church and all kind of stuff. Amen. But now, listen, it was good for one use over here. It's good for something else over here. But it is no longer. Now listen to me. And you need to get this part of it. It is no longer, now that it's paper, it is no longer any good for its original purpose. Got that? It's been converted. And once it's converted, you can't unconvert it. And you can't use it for what you used it for before. And so if I was a sinner living for the devil and walking after the flesh and I got saved by God's grace and filled with the Holy Ghost and gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, I got converted. Amen? I ain't no good for what I was good for before. Amen? You're looking like, man, it's no good. Amen? So don't give me this stuff. Well, I'm saved, but I just don't believe you. You say, well, preacher, you might be wrong. I might be. But I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to treat you like you're lost and on your way to hell because you ain't living like you're on your way to heaven. Amen. And I'd rather be safe than sorry. If we get up there and I was wrong about it, I'll apologize. Well, I might be going too far. Enoch, walk with God. Now listen, there's a definite point, there's a definite place, there's a definite time when you change your life, when you have that religious experience that the psychiatrists are always talking about. There's a point in time when you get saved by God's grace. And after that point in time, you're supposed to walk with God until you're not here anymore. Enoch didn't walk 65 years and say, well, I got 65 years by myself and 65 years of the Lord. I think I'll try something else for the next 65. He walked with himself for 65 years, and after that, bless God, he walked with God until God took him home. There are no vacations. You haven't put in enough time. The fellow that led me to the Lord one time told me, after I got saved, me and him didn't see a lot of things eye to eye. I'm thankful he got led me to the Lord. I am. But if he had quit reading Oliver B. Green, he might have learned something. But he told me one time, what did he tell me? You might remember. I didn't get that far, did I? Do what? I can't hear her. Yeah. I'm glad somebody was listening. I wasn't. He told me one time, he said, I've done my part. You ain't done your part. He thought he could sit down on the sideline, and he did sit down on the sideline. He's still alive, and I still love him, and I call him every March, and I call him up, and I cry like a baby. I'm telling you the honest truth. 33 years in a row, I've called Meridian, Mississippi, talked to William R. Pace, told him I loved him, thanked him for leading me to Christ, and I weep every time I do it. I'm not exaggerating. But he ain't done his part. He's been sitting on the sideline for the last 15 years doing nothing, criticizing everybody. Ain't no church quite good enough for him, and ain't no preacher quite smart enough for him, and all this, that, and the other. And he gets mad at me all the time, won't read my, listen to my tapes anymore. And then he kind of gets over and he calls back, wants some. But I love him. But I'm here to tell you, he's wrong. He ain't done his part. There's no place in time where you get to stop. You don't ever get to quit. If you're living and breathing and walking and talking, you ought to be walking and talking with God. Amen. Amen. Well, not only that, look at this. When Enoch walks with God, when his walk began, Enoch got it right. Now, a lot of folks don't get it right. So why? Well, it said Enoch walked with God. A lot of folks walk in front of God. They're always ahead of him. And a lot of folks walk behind him. They just never can get up where God wants them to be. Amen? And so about 2/3 of Christianity is either by walking behind God or walking ahead of God, which means that both of them are out of the will of God. And about 1/3 of them walking with God. I mean, spend enough time in Bible reading and prayer and fellowship to know the mind of God and know where God wants them and know what God expects out of them and surrenders their will to His will. Not my will, but thine be done. Amen. Boy, that's a minuscule part of modern day Christianity. For the most part, we've decided long ago what God wants for us and what we're going to do and how we're going to come. And we don't need God anymore. We got it all figured out. That's why you see so many colossal messes out there. Because folks are so far out in front of God, they don't even see Him anymore. Or they're so lazy and so backwards and so stupid that they're so far back here, they don't know where God went. They wouldn't know God if He drove up in a limousine with 3 stars on a little flag. Now, some of y'all weren't in the military, y'all don't understand. If you're an admiral or a general, say, when you get in your car, they put a little flag on the fender. And it puts 1, 2, 3, 4 stars on it to show what kind of big shot you are. Amen. And when that car comes by, you're supposed to stop and salute. I have to explain this stuff to these landlubbers. All of us sailors, Brother Tommy, know what I was talking about. You knew, didn't you? Yeah. Brother Mark knew. Right. Why did I talk to him? I should have just talked to Mark and been done with it. Bubbleheads are all alike, man. Now, he didn't walk after God. He didn't walk before God. He walked with God. The Bible said in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Amen?
Now, I'm here to tell you, you know, you can come in church on Sunday morning and for a brief amount of time, shake everybody's hand and be friendly and all that, you know, and we get along. But if some of us had to spend a lot of time around some of us, like Dr. Howes used to say, Dr. Howes said, if you put Bob Gray and Jack Howes and Peter Ruckman and Lester Roloff and somebody, he said, put them all in a room and lock the door, he said, blood will be coming out from the door in 10 minutes. And I believe that too. Why? People that believe this book got convictions about stuff. Amen. They said, can two walk together except to be agreed? That means God and Enoch were agreed. I'm here to tell you, I know this for sure. This is not speculation. God didn't change his mind and God didn't change his position. Amen. The way I see it, Enoch had to come around to God's point of view. And if you ever want sweet fellowship with God, let me tell you what you've got to do. You have got to come around to his point of view. Quit being so hard-headed. Quit being so obstinate. And say, well, I'm going to do it my way. Well, Elvis sang that, you know, but old Blue Eyes sang it before him. So you kids, old Blue Eyes was one of them mob guys that ran with a rat pack, you know. Frank Sinatra. But he sang, I did it my way. And both of them did in hell. Amen. Don't sing that song. Some of y'all don't have a bit of sense of humor. I wouldn't live in some of y'all's skin for all the money on the planet. Enoch came around to God's point of view. And the reason some of y'all are so miserable in your Christianity, you won't give up, give in, and go God's way. And the sooner you do, you find out great happiness and great peace is in doing it God's way. And so Enoch and God were in agreement. Now, look at this. The Bible said there in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5 that God took Enoch because Enoch pleased him. Well, listen, oh, Enoch's smarter than you might think. Now, he may have messed up for 65 years, but we all had that day of sin, right? But after old Enoch got right with God, he saw the handwriting on the wall. He knew he was upon the earth and God was in heaven. Amen. He knew he was dust and he was eternal. So he said, well, whatever the boss gets. Amen. And so he just decided to do it God's way. And God said, you know, I like that. I like somebody who's got enough sense to know I'm smarter than they are and that I'm bigger than they are. And if push comes to shove, I win every time. Every time. Every time. I never lost one. I always win. And so I pleased God. And when you please God, good things happen. Just like when you don't please God, bad things happen. Amen. And so Enoch walked with God. Now, not only that, Enoch preached for God. In Jude verse 14, it said, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment. And boy, old Enoch got up on that pulpit thing there, and he just got him I think he had Noah's sermon outline, is what I think, you know. Because Noah preached for 120 years, and he had all kind of good stuff. Because back in Noah's day, arking was the sport of the day. See, on Saturday evening, and they didn't have a Rose Bowl and a Super Bowl and the Gator Bowl. What they had was an ark. And here's old Noah and his boys down there hammering and a sawing and a fitting and a chiseling and putting pitch in and fixing cracks. And they're down there, and they get a big old crowd that had the bleachers built up around that thing. Popcorn stand, hot dogs, you could get Diet Coke and sodas and stuff. And they get a big old crowd down there on Friday evening and Saturday evening, watch them boys drive nails and build that boat. And they'd jeer and carry on. So old Noah would get up on the bow of the boat and get his sermon outlines out and say, God's coming back and God! You know, and he'd preach to them. Well, Enoch got Noah's outlines. Amen. That's the apostolic succession of sermon outlines. So, Enoch preached. Well, now, Enoch would not have been a good popular preacher these days. Every word Every word of Enoch's message was hellfire and brimstone. He didn't say, now God loves you and God wants to bless you. I listened to that moron from Forest Hills up in Charlotte the other day, talking about his contemporary service with contemporary dress and contemporary upbeat music. And God wants nothing more than to, he didn't say bless. Something. Anyway, give you a bunch of stuff. He said, that's all God wants to do. He said, won't you come to Forest Hills Sunday and we'll show you the five ways God wants to bless you. I thought, oh, shut up. When's the last time you told some sinner on his way to hell, God is going to nail your hide to the wall if you don't get right and trust Jesus Christ? Now, that's the truth. It may not be popular, it may not be fun, but that's what's going to happen. And if we don't get them saved, they're going straight to hell as sure as there's a God in glory. You better quit telling them God loves them and tell them God's going to hit them. That's what Jonah told him. Now, he did do it with glee in his voice, and I don't think that's quite right. He hated the Ninevites. But he said, God's going to get you 40 days. Katie bar the door. 40 days, God's going to tear your house down. You're going to think the big bad wolf comes, son. Going to blow that little straw house down. I'm here to tell you 40 days, and it's all over with. They decided to get right. Now, we run around all the time saying, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. God wants to bless you. Oh, don't worry about that. God loves you. Oh, don't worry about that. God won't punish that. No, that's not a sin. Don't worry about it. God loves you. I'm going to let a whole generation die and go to hell. Amen. You say, well, preacher, it's a pretty good analogy you got down to that preaching. And God didn't call all of us to preach. Well, sure He did. Surely you're not that ignorant. God called every saved person to preach. Now, He just didn't call you to get in my pulpit. Amen. Called me to get back there. But He called you to preach. You're supposed to be a preacher. 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 When you wake up, you can be a preacher. There's a lot of preaching goes on that don't get behind pulpits. But sitting around lunch boxes at tables in break rooms and sitting on the back of a truck out on a construction site. There's a lot of preaching can go on. You ought to be out there telling them about Jesus Christ, warning them. I love this story Dr. Ruttman used to tell. He said, this old boy got saved and he was just on fire for God. And he's always trying to witness, you know, and he's trying to find him an open door. And so one day he's on a job site with a bunch of construction guys. They're pretty rough, you know. He said, them old boys sit down to eat lunch, and this old boy prayed. He said, now, Lord, give me an open door. He said, let me say something for you. The Lord, give me an opportunity. He said, if you'll open the door, he said, I'll take it. And so they sit there, and this old boy opens his lunch box. And in the front of it is a bunch of girls out of Playboy, scantily clad young ladies. And the guy said, oh, man. And he thought of something. He said, those girls go to your church. Man, he got the conversation started that way, man. He got to witness them fellas. You got to use a little common sense. But everybody and anybody can be a preacher and ought to be a preacher. Amen. Now, not only that, number four, let's look at Enoch's departure. And I kind of like his departure. It was real showy. I mean, he got everybody's attention. Amen. You ever want to be the center of things, you know, and get all the everybody look at you? It's all lying like a dog. I don't know anybody that don't like a little spotlight every now and then. I mean, I wouldn't want to live there. My life won't measure up. But every now and then, a little spotlight's not bad. Amen. It's <I mean, laughs> oh Lord, I'm having fun this morning. This is a riot. Some folks out there don't know what to do. Enoch lives 365 years. 300 years he serves God and does right. He's got a son named Methuselah. Methuselah means when he is gone, it shall come.
And of course, when Methuselah died, the next thing that happens is the flood, see? So we're pretty sure back there in history why Enoch named him Methuselah. And we know why Enoch got right. He saw the handwriting on the wall. Judgment was coming. Amen. God said, I'm going to drown this place out. And when that boy dies, that's the marker right there. That's the fullness of times right there. That's the times of the Gentiles right there. When he dies, it's all over with. And then he said, boy, I better get right then. Amen. I'm telling you, judgment will make folks get right when nothing else will. Amen. That's like a good old-fashioned whipping will get kids to mind a lot better than time out. Enoch lives a year of years. And he's cut off in the midst of his years. You understand that in Enoch's day, everybody lived to be 800-900 years old. Enoch lives 365 and he's gone. Cut off in his prime. That old boy's just getting started good. Think of the collection of sermon outlines he could have left if he'd lived another 300 years. But in the midst of his years, he gets cut off. Some of y'all whine and cry when folks go home early. God always knows what he's doing. Amen. People say, well, you know, if you live bad, you're going to get killed and die and go to hell. See, being good has its own reward. Ain't it? Gets cut off in the midst of his years. Not only that, look at his departure. It was sudden. It was supernatural. Amen. And it was unannounced. There wasn't any ticker tape parades. There wasn't any bulls to put out. Enoch will depart 0700, June 1, 0000. Nothing. He just, one day, wasn't there. Now somebody said, Enoch walked with God. And they was out walking one day, and kept walking and fellowship and having a good old time. And Enoch looked down at his Rolex, and the time was far spent. And he said, man, I got to get back home. It's going to be dark. Well, the Lord said, well, it's closer to my house than yours. Just come home with me. Amen. Amen. I think you ought to get so close to God and wrapped up in God, you wouldn't know whether he was here or there. Amen. Just check out, Lord. Now, Enoch, living for God, walking with God, and God took him. And one of these days, your life or death is going to be the same way. People say, oh, I've got it all planned out. I know when I'm going to die, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to accomplish that. No, you don't. No, you don't. Your death can be sudden. It'd be unannounced, and it may even be supernatural. Now, not all deaths are supernatural. Sometimes you have a malignant growth, or you have a misaligned brain, and you walk out in front of that 18-wheeler, or you step off that ledge, see? Now, I'm not sure that all that's supernatural. That may just be time and chance happeneth to all men. Okay? I'm one of the few Baptists you ever met in your life that believes in a certain degree of luck. Well, amen. Now, I got a message on it. If you don't understand that, get the message, you'll understand. Luck is built into the Bible. Oh, I believe in divine providence. Nothing happens by... I don't believe in luck. Nothing happens by chance. Well, you're too dumb to breathe. You're too dumb to breathe. Of course things happen by chance. The Bible said time and chance happen to all men. Amen. And in God's perfect plan, there wouldn't have been any luck. But man went and sinned and introduced randomness into the system. Now you don't know exactly how it's going to work. Of course there's luck. If we're lucky, we won't have anybody in it believes that nonsense. Your departure may or may not be supernatural. It may be from natural causes. And then God may get mad at you and let the devil kill you. Amen. And turn such one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh that the soul might be saved in the day. See? That's God killing. That's supernatural death. Or you could be like Enoch and God say, I like that old boy. He's a real blessing to me. I want some close fellowship. He's done his part. His time's up. I'll just take him on home to glory. And God take you out. And that's a supernatural departure. Amen. There's all kind of ways to go.
but go you will. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Then, fifthly, it says, Enoch, also the seventh from Adam. Now, why does it say that? God counting the number of men? You were in a Bible study somehow. Maybe there's something that'll rack your brain, buddy. I mean, you can just get all twisted up this thing and not know where you're at. Have you ever noticed the way that God counts? His arithmetic is pathetic. I mean, it is. Who was the first king in Israel? King Saul, right? Well, how come God didn't count him? Read Matthew chapter 1. God only counts David. And then you got a list of 28 kings down through there. And if you go back and look at the record, there's three of them missing. It shouldn't have been 28. It should have been 31. God's arithmetic's a mess. Amen? You know how many men have been alive as far as God's concerned? Two? Adam one? And the second Adam. The first Adam is of the earth, earthy, Adam. And the second Adam is the Lord from glory. Number two. He said the first man and the second man. As far as the federal head of the race, ain't been but two. God counts funny all the time. And so here he is, he's counting Enoch, the seventh from Adam. Well, there have been thousands of people. I mean, Adam had his boys and girls, and they had their children and all that, right? They went and lived in the land of Nod, and then there's all them guys trying to build a tower and all that. I mean, there's something, folks all over the place. How come God only counts seven? Well, you have to figure that out sometime. Now, there's a reason for that. There really is. Sometimes the reason's only known to God, though. But now you can learn a lesson from Enoch, being the seventh from Adam. Say, why? Well, from Noah, or from Adam to Noah, it's 2,000 years, 2 days, right? And from Noah to Christ, it's 2,000 years or 2 days, right? Then from Christ to the rapture is 2 days or 2,000 years. And then you got from the rapture to the white throne, 1 day, the millennium, 1,000 years. That's 7 days, 7,000 years, right? Now, everybody goes over and gets old Lot over there, and getting fire and brimstone rained down, and they talk about a picture of the rapture. Lot's not a picture of the rapture. Lot is a picture of a tribulation saint saved, yet so as by fire. Enoch is a picture of the rapture. Enoch is a picture of a man who does not die and never will. Elisha goes up, but he's got to die. Everybody's got to die. But here's one guy in that Bible, the seventh from Adam. He pictures a saint caught up in the rapture of the church who does not die and who never will die. I live in the Enoch generation. Amen? I think we're right at the end of the sixth day, getting ready for the dawning of the seventh day, and I'm looking for this old boy to disappear. Amen. I don't want to die, and I'm never, ever going to die. If I go up in the rapture, I miss death. And wouldn't that be a blessing? Out of all the generations of men, women, boys, and girls that ever lived upon the face of this earth, we'll be that one tiny little segment that never sees death. That'll be a blessing. Last but not least, let me close with this. We see Enoch in God's transporter room. Now, everybody knows I'm a big fan of science fiction. I love science fiction. I've been reading science fiction all my life. And the reason for that is all good science fiction's got a lot of Bible in it. You can't write good science fiction and not know about it. Can't be done. All good science fiction writers were Bible students. Now, they don't have to be Bible believers. But they'd be Bible students. There are only 33 possible plots. They're all found in the Bible, see? So if you want to be a good writer and not get hung up on one little venue or something, you got to read the book to get balance. You also have to read the book for imagination. Amen? Hey, nothing stirs imagination like this book does. And so Enoch is in God's transporter room. This is Star Trek, the original series. I got, what's that message I preached a few years ago? It was called, this is a long time before that. It was called, the Bible versus science fiction. The Gospel According to Science Fiction. That's the name of that. And in that thing, I got like 20-something movie titles that illustrate truths found in the Bible, like shapeshifters and transporters and all that stuff. I'm going to have to dig that out and preach it. Y'all, obviously, it's been too long because y'all don't remember it. I can preach it and nobody will know, Lord. I should get my mouth shut. And it gets ready to leave this old world, and God just takes him out. You've watched the Star Trek stuff, you know, and they got the transporter room. Of course, when they did the original movie, The Fly, they had a transporter room. Watch out for them transporter rooms. Y'all remember The Fly, don't you? The guy gets in there, there's a little fly in there, and when he comes out, he's half man, half fly. Has to eat from now on, sucking through that tube in his face. If I was on Star Trek, they'd have to come down and send a ship down to get me. I wouldn't get in that transporter room. Now, what if there's a cricket in there? I had 20-something movie things, and they're all biblical truths that they borrowed from the Word of God to make their movies and make a lot of money in Hollywood. Amen. But they got all the original ideas right here. And so old Enoch is down there, and God got him in the transporter room. And Enoch gets in there and said, "Okay, beam me up, Holy Ghost." And the Holy Ghost said, "Holy Ghost, God the Father, go ahead, Holy Ghost. Transporter room is ready. Station standing by. Beam him up. Holy Ghost to Enoch. Stand by." I love it, don't you? And Enoch was not, for God took him. Supernaturally, miraculously, instantaneously, without announcement, didn't consult with nobody, just took him. Boy, that night, sitting around the table down there. Now, Enoch had been around for 365 years. He had Methuselah when he was 65. He had 300 more years to propagate the species. So he's got a big table. And all them youngins sitting around there saying, "Where's Daddy? It ain't like him not to be here at supper time." Now, he know Mama was picking chicken and dumpling. "Well, he must have seen Daddy today." "No, I ain't heard from him. I know he took his cell phone this morning, but..." And it's gone! And he ain't coming back! And God didn't worry about explaining to his family why or when or where or nothing. God just took him. And one of these days, it's going to be the day of your departure, and God ain't going to explain it to nobody. It's just going to take you. I hope your family understands where you went. Sad thing, standing around a funeral home or a casket and talk to folks who've got a mama or daddy or somebody laying there, and they got no confidence at all for mama. "Preacher, I believe Daddy's in heaven." You know why they said it that way? Because he is real. I believe he is. It's more like, I hope he is. They're trying to talk themselves into it. because they can't deal with the possibility of these dead men in hell. You know why we preach everybody into heaven? Because it crushes people to think their loved ones are in hell. Oh, they didn't care while they were alive. We are saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, and here mama and daddy, brother and sister, aunts and uncles, grandma and grandpa living like hell, drinking and being immoral and ungodly and rejecting Christ and doing whatever it is they want to do. And we never say a mumbling word. We never warn them of the judgment to come. We never warn them about the rapture going to take place. We never make them understand that they're going to face God one of these days. And then when God just suddenly takes them, us who are left behind are in a panic. Oh, I wish I'd have said this. I wish I'd have told him that. I wish I could have got into church. Well, why don't you do it now? Before they die. Before God takes them out. Before you and I leave in the rapture. Let's tell them! Now is the time to be a witness. For two reasons. One, the person you need to witness to is still here. Two, you're still here. You got everything you need. They're lost, you're saved, they're here, you're here. Get at it. Say, why? Because they may be gone in the morning, or we may be gone this afternoon. Well, that's the story of Enoch. Let's start here. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I pray, Lord, you'll help us to see some things, that our time is short. And it is a few. Help us.